You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 465.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, how do you do, Kevin?
How do you do? What an old-timey greeting to start the show.
I have been meaning to use that expression for decades.
It's like you just bicycled out of like the year 1895 on one of those bikes with the giant front wheel. You hopped off, tipped your cap. How do you do?
I say good day to you, sir. Good day, sir.
Yes, yes. That's the other thing is back then, that's like the worst thing you could say to someone. If you're really furious with someone, you say good day. And you say it twice.
Yeah, that shows real fury, doesn't it?
That's as nasty as it got back in the day. Well, we'll see if we can bring back that level of nastiness here on the Flopcast. We're not fooling around today. We got a top 4.5 list to get through. That's the plan. First, however, Cornflake, what do you have for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, let's get weird, Kevin. April 6th is Sorry Charlie Day.
Oh, no. What in the world does that mean?
Of course, we're talking about Charlie the Tuna, who started appearing in star-kissed tuna ads back in the early 60s. The jive-talking, sunglasses-wearing tuna who is trying to impress the star-kissed tuna scouts, as if you get recruited to be tuna fish. The campaign ran through the 80s and then was retired. It came back in 1999. I remember the commercials from the 80s, and I remember the Sorry Charlie. The reason that this is called Sorry Charlie Day is that at the end of all the commercials, Charlie would always get turned down by Starkist. He wasn't good enough to be Starkist Tuna. He appeared in over 85 commercials. And if you go back to the ones from the early 60s, Kevin, these commercials are like a short little feature film. They're like a minute long.
Yeah, they used to make really long commercials.
They had a whole story.
Well, there's a few factors, I suppose. One is that people had attention spans.
Right.
And obviously...
Oh, we don't now.
That time has passed. No, we got nothing. And the other thing is, what else are you going to do? People just sat there and watched all the commercials.
Yeah. It was sheer entertainment, I'll tell you that. Watching these fish, like, chomping on cigars and impressing the ladyfish.
It was just like television was such a novelty that they could feed up extra long animated fish commercials and a grateful nation would just drink it all in.
I mean, we do a lot of Mr. Peanut talk on this show, but Charlie the Tuna was a fairly widely recognized symbol as well. We don't talk enough about Charlie the Tuna, I don't think.
We've been neglecting Charlie the Tuna. You are correct. It was sort of a beatnik type character, wasn't he, with the little cap and the voice?
Yeah, kind of beatnik, kind of like, it was like watching the guys from the Honeymooners talk to each other a little bit, too. I mean, they kind of remind me, I guess, of part beatnik, part, like, mobster.
Do you think Charlie the Tuna was all mobbed up, had some organized crime connections?
I think he might have.
Was he an enemy of Aquaman?
Well, this is all very weird to think about, but I mean, April 6th is weird to call Sorry Charlie Day, but there you have it.
So this day is specifically in honor of this cartoon fish from these commercials?
It is.
Okay.
Although Charlie the Tuna himself never uttered the phrase, Sorry Charlie, that is the slogan that sticks from these commercials because it was always Charlie the Tuna getting turned down.
Yeah, that checks out. I just pulled up a little information about Charlie the Tuna as we were speaking. A couple of things pop out at me. Those commercials were animated by DePatie Freleng, classic animation studio. They did probably best known for Pink Panther, but they did a million things. They did Time for Timer. They did everything. But also that announcer that would say the catchphrase, Sorry Charlie, was Danny Dark, and I knew that name immediately because that was the voice of Superman on the Super Friends.
Oh.
Yes. So clearly we've established that Charlie the Tuna, an enemy of possibly the entire Justice League.
This is a part of the universe I'd never stopped to think about.
All right. We should probably revisit the subject of cartoon commercial mascots, though, in more detail someday. Because you're right. We've talked about Mr. Peanut quite a bit, as we should.
Right. That's never going to change.
Yeah.
Nor should it.
Nothing fascinates me more than Mr. Peanut. You know that. But there's a whole rich universe of goofy commercial cartoon characters, one of which we're very sorry about, Charlie the Tuna.
Sorry, Charlie.
But today, Cornflake, it's been a while since you and I did a top 4.5 list. We did a 4.5 list here on the show just a few weeks ago when Drew was here. Speaking of the Super Friends, we had Drew here to do a 4.5 list of goofy DC Comics characters. But how about you and I, old school Flopcast, let's do a good old-fashioned top 4.5 list.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1.5?
The top 4.5 list.
I got a nice break on the last one. I'm fully on board for this one.
You were just there last time to as the judge and jury. All right, top 4.5 list, Cornflake, and you know the subject because we worked this out in advance. But the subject simply, I don't even know how I thought of this. It just suddenly popped into my brain the other day. The subject is Johnny.
Yeah, you wanted top 4.5 Johnnies.
Cornflake, you have a Johnny list?
I sure do.
Oh, good. Me too. Let's go then. You're up first. What's number 4?
I'm going Johnny 5 from the 1986 film Short Circuit and its sequel. The original, of course, starred Ally Sheedy and Steve Guttenberg. The voice of number 5 is Tim Blaney, who, coincidentally, I discovered is the voice behind...
Voice of Charlie Tuna. Charlie Tuna, right?
I wish. Boy, wouldn't that have been cool?
Oh, man.
No, but he was the voice behind Frank the Pug in Men in Black and Men in Black 2. Originally starts out as just number 5, but over the movie changes to Johnny 5 because he heard that DeBarge song, Who's Johnny? And he decides it's Johnny 5. Johnny 5 is alive.
It all comes back to DeBarge.
As it should.
I mean everything, not just the characters on this list. Yeah, Short Circuit Johnny 5 was on my short list. Didn't make my final 4.5 list, but I certainly thought of Johnny 5 and the classic DeBarge song, Who's Johnny? Good pick.
Thank you.
This might be my number 3 Ally Sheedy movie.
That's right, because you have a slew of favorite Ally Sheedy movies.
Well, you got to start with Breakfast Club and War Games.
Right.
I'm not sure what order to put those in, though. What do you think?
I got to go Breakfast Club at the top.
Yeah, Ally Sheedy, Breakfast Club, much more of an iconic character, although I loved her in War Games as well.
In Short Circuit, she's adorable, though.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to teach Johnny Five how to be civil and human.
Oh, once she got out of that Breakfast Club Saturday detention, yeah, then it was time to just go run around with a robot. Much more pleasant company than Emilio Estevez. Just get yourself a robot.
Yeah.
Good job, Ally. Number 4 for me, Cornflake, is I just wanted to start off strong, maybe a little obvious for us being rather obsessed with the Bradys, but we have to talk Johnny Bravo.
Oh, wow. Johnny Bravo was on my short list, but I knew it's like, oh, it's going to be on Kevin's list. But number 4, wow, you must have some heck of a list coming if we get a Brady in the number 4 spot.
Not really. No, it's all downhill.
Okay.
So enjoy it while it lasts. But here's Johnny Bravo. Yeah, classic Brady Bunch episode, of course. This is one of the ones where the kids sing and dance. You know, suddenly they're a swinging 70s rock band made up of Bradys. And the episode is called Adios, Johnny Bravo. This was final season, I believe. Season 5, 1973.
It's wacky.
Greg is lured away from the band with the other kids, gets an opportunity to become a big star, solo, but under the new identity created for him, Johnny Bravo.
And only because the jacket fits, because there's an awful lot of bread in those threads, baby.
It's all about who fits the suit.
Yeah.
The big, crazy, bedazzled Johnny Bravo costume.
That was really the Bradys had gotten... bizarre by then.
But Greg was about the music, man.
He was about the music and about family.
Yeah. I think he made a huge mistake.
I think you're right.
He should have stuck with the Johnny Bravo persona. Come on, that was his shot. You know the Brady Six or the Silver Platters, whatever they're calling themselves that week, they're never really getting anywhere. They're horrible. He needs a team of show business professionals behind him, pulling the strings.
He does. And pulling back the beads. When he walks into the office, what an office.
And then years later, like in the 90s.
He actually put out an album, right?
Yeah, Barry Williams released the album The Return of Johnny Bravo.
So he finally came around.
Which is an astonishing record. I have a copy of it, needless to say. It's mostly covers, but it starts with a very odd song called Johnny's Back. Then there's a whole bunch of covers on it, just bizarre. Speaking of DeBarge, he does cover Rhythm of the Night.
No, he doesn't. Are you kidding me?
It's mashed up. It's Rhythm of the Night from DeBarge and All Night Long from Lionel Richie, mashed up into one magical Greg Brady song.
See, initially I would feel like you're pulling my leg here, but I know you'd never pull my leg about a Brady.
This is a great record. And this is Barry Williams decades later. He put on the suit again for the cover of the album. It's magnificent. All right. Greg Brady, of course, we love, although he wants me dead. And let's move on. Cornflake, number three on your Johnny list.
My number three pick harkens back to my number four pick, but only a little bit. We talked about how number five in Short Circuit became Johnny Five. It revolved around the song Who's Johnny by DeBarge. And there was a parody that came along from Weird Al Yankovic called Here's Johnny. Now, we've talked about Here's Johnny on the show, the parody of Who's Johnny by Al DeBarge for the album Polka Party. The song is an ode to The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson announcer Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
And Peter Wolf, who wrote the original Who's Johnny, enjoyed the parody idea that Weird Al had for this so much that he personally brought to the studio a floppy disk that contained the song's programmed synthesizer parts. Like, that's how excited Peter Wolf was for Weird Al to make this parody. Look,
Peter Wolf from the Jay Giles Band wrote Who's Johnny?
Yep.
This is news to me, Cornflake. Like, 35 years later, I'm just learning this. Wow. A couple of local connections with this song, then, because that's a Boston guy, of course. Boston rock institution. Peter Wolf, frontman of the Jay Giles Band. And Ed McMahon has some local roots as well, right?
Well, I do, yeah.
He worked in radio in Lowell, Massachusetts, where you and I have a dark, sordid history.
It's so true.
But yeah, Peter Wolf, I had no idea.
I'm surprised I taught you something. That doesn't normally happen.
Sure did, yeah.
I marvel at Weird Al for the things that he's able to make funny and entertaining. He made a whole song out of how it is to have a great gig just saying, here's Johnny.
He made a song about Ed McMahon.
And he made a song about Ed McMahon, and we love it.
Ed McMahon was out of control in this era in the 80s. He had like three or four different shows going. He was doing The Tonight Show. He was doing
Star Search.
And TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes as well. He was hosting everything back then. Got to get a Weird Al song on the list. I support that decision. Number three for me, I'm going to DC Comics. So similar to our last top four and a half list, which was all about goofy DC Comics characters, I have a goofy DC Comics Johnny, and that is a character named Johnny Thunder.
Johnny Thunder, okay.
Johnny Thunder, and there's so many comic book Johnnies. There are a lot of them. I could have made this exclusively a comic book themed Johnny list. Johnny Thunder goes way back to the golden age of comics, like 1940. It was a superhero comic strip, but also kind of goofy comedy, which they did a lot back in the 40s. And Johnny Thunder was sort of this dim-witted, nerdy kind of guy, wore a green suit and a bow tie, and possessed the power to summon this magical creature known as the Thunderbolt, who was this sort of all-powerful, like a genie almost, but kind of appeared, looked like a bolt of lightning with a face and could pretty much do anything, this magical, superpowered creature. And there was a magic word which was spelled C-E-I-U. It was pronounced say-you. And Johnny Thunder would just say that word accidentally and summon the Thunderbolt
Like, say you haven't heard what the weather is going to be.
Right. Anything like that. Suddenly, this magical thunderbolt creature pops up and would assist and save the day, do whatever needed to be done. And it took a long time for Johnny Thunder to even figure out what was going on. So the whole strip was kind of played for laughs that this befuddled dude was accidentally commanding a genie, essentially, and actually joined the Justice Society of America back then, which I know we've talked about. That was like the original pre-Justice League, the original superhero team was the Justice Society. And he's been around ever since in one form or another throughout the years at DC when they've revived the JSA. There's Johnny Thunder. It's always just very goofy because it's just a guy.
Does he still occasionally say you by accident?
Oh, yeah. This goofy guy is tagging along with the Spectre and these all-powerful superheroes and also Johnny Thunder. In the 1980s, a new version of Johnny Thunder was created. And I like this because I wanted to get some women on our list. And most Johnnies, you know, are guys.
Are not women, right.
Yeah, not always, but there are some exceptions. And here's one of them. They made a new version of Johnny Thunder in the 80s at DC Comics. And this was Johnny spelled J-O-N-N-I, Johnny Thunder.
Nice.
She was a private detective, but she also, like, through this magical statue from South America that she came into possession of, and then lightning strikes, and she suddenly had the ability to transform into a thunderbolt creature. So the original Johnny Thunder, the guy, it was like a whole separate thunderbolt guy would show up. In this case, she would abandon her human earth body and suddenly embody this magical thunder lightning creature, the thunderbolt.
Neat.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was just like a four-issue series in the mid-80s. And then I think they've used her rather sparsely since then.
That's a shame because she sounds awesome.
Yeah, I was reading the original Johnny Thunder miniseries this week. And yeah, it was cool. It was good. And it was also weird, like as a kid when this comic came out, because then I sent you some visual reference for Johnny Thunder. If you check your email, you should have seen a picture of Johnny Thunder, both versions of Johnny Thunder.
Yes.
The Johnny Thunder, the lady version from the 80s, when she turns into the Thunderbolt...
She's missing something.
She kind of looks naked, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And this is just splattered on the front cover of a DC comic, because I remember being somewhat surprised by that back in the day. Like, oh, yikes.
Hey, look, naked firewoman.
There's a very new Johnny Thunder in town. But why not?
And she's not about the clothing. Not at all.
And these days, actually, we should mention in the new Stargirl TV series, which was really good. It's my favorite of the current DC TV series. Season 2 of Stargirl will be starting very soon. And I believe there will be a new version of Johnny Thunder or Jakeem Thunder or JJ Thunder. It goes by a different name now, but there's going to be a new version of Johnny Thunder will be making his debut, I believe, coming soon on Stargirl, so that'll be fun.
Sounds good.
Yeah, they've done some cool, like, more serious takes on this character over the years, but I go back to from the 40s, original goofy Johnny Thunder, and from the 80s, Naked Lady Johnny Thunder.
I'm a big fan of Naked Lady Johnny Thunder.
Yeah, those are our two favorites.
That's a new favorite for me.
Oh, good. back to you then, Cornflake. What's going on for number 2?
At number 2, and though they knew he was a moron, no one could dispute the depth of Johnny's dedication to his life's pursuit. It's probably the funniest cautionary tale out there, Kevin, about fireworks safety. From the Paul and Storm album News to Us, for number 2, I'm going with Ten Fingered Johnny.
Yeah, I've heard this song. I vaguely remember this song. Yes.
But they're singing about a guy who just can't put the fireworks down. And he goes from being 10-fingered Johnny to 6-fingered Johnny to, by the last verse, he's 1.5-limb Johnny. Not funny, but I think back to, like, when we were kids. I don't know what it was like in your family, Kevin, but I was allowed to play with fireworks when I was a kid. Were you?
Well, as we've established, you hail from the lawless wilderness of New Hampshire.
I think about just how casually we would play with these things that would catch fire and explode. And it's a little bit insane. And
you grew up, it was like Mad Max Fury Road. It's the cursed earth from Judge Dredd. It's just this post-apocalyptic nightmare.
It was a mess. It was an absolute mess.
And anything goes. No, I did not play with fireworks as a kid.
No? Just me then. Just me.
Played it safe here in Massachusetts.
Wait, you telling me there were no lawn darts either?
There were occasionally some lawn darts. Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. Let's not get all sanctimonious then.
No lawn darts on my lawn, but occasionally on a friend's lawn.
Yeah.
There would be darts. I knew that we would not escape this list without you coming up with a hilarious guy blowing his hands off kind of a song.
You're welcome.
Had to be done. Where are we? Number two on my list, correct?
Yeah.
You know, I have a song also. I'll match you song for song at the number two position, but I'm going to Men at Work and Be Good Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the first Men at Work album, Business as Usual, from, 1982, I think? And a hit song, but one that I think kind of got lost in the shuffle as the years went on, because people remember, you know, Who Can It Be Now and Down Under and not a lot beyond that.
Yeah, you haven't forgotten, though.
Yeah, Be Good Johnny was a hit in its own right, and a goofy song, an odd song. It's just a song about a kind of an odd kid trying to figure out,
how to behave himself, right?
Just a kid having a hard time getting along. Doesn't even want to play cricket.
What's wrong with him?
Well, you know what? Neither do I.
That's fair. I think the last time I heard this song was when you and Sean performed it as God's Comics.
Well, yeah, I do happen to belong to a Men at Work cover band called God's Comics. And of course, we perform once every 10 years. But yeah, you were at our most recent concert back in 2019. And by the way, you know, mark your calendars because we're just 8 years away from God's Comics show number 4 coming up. Get ready for that.
Gets closer with every year.
Yeah, we did this song at the last show, didn't we? We did.
Yes, you did.
Johnny.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I think I sat this one out. This might have been one that Sean and Adam did without me, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Right.
Those are always the good ones. When they get me off the stage. It's always for the best. Hope you enjoyed it. Glad I could bring you a classic Johnny song.
I appreciated it.
I assume the title of the song was a play on Johnny B. Good, you know, the old Chuck Berry song. They kind of flipped it, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But we prefer 80s new wave version, so we're going Be Good Johnny and Men at Work from Australia. Come on. Cornflake, I think we're at number one on your Johnny list. What's going on?
You may want to massage the segue a little bit because you prefer 80s new wave. Be Good Johnny. I have Chuck Berry at number one. I have Johnny Be Good on my list.
Oh, wow. Weird.
From 1958. So for Chuck Berry, this is a semi-autobiographical song and quite possibly the first rock and roll hit about being a rock and roll star. But I love it.
But can we pause and point out, Cornflake, this was not planned. We don't know each other's lists in advance.
Yeah, we don't know each other's lists.
We just went straight from Be Good Johnny. I pointed out similar in name to Johnny Be Good, and then you happen to have Johnny Be Good next on your list.
Yeah, what a coincidence, huh?
This is a Christmas miracle.
It's a very Johnny Christmas.
Yes.
Charlie Brown. So I, of course, love this from the cover version that is included in the film Back to the Future, when Marty McFly is playing it at a high school dance.
Right. It turns out we have Michael J. Fox to thank for the invention of rock and roll, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. It all goes back to a Teen Wolf.
It does. There's just something very joyful and energetic about that song, and I love hearing it. Gets me going.
How can you not enjoy Johnny B. Good? Now, in the 80s, pre-Sponge Awareness Foundation, that's the band that Ed and I formed in the 90s, but back in the 80s, Ed's high school band, Vortex, used to cover Johnny B. Good at all their live shows.
I remember this being discussed.
Which, and it was kind of an oddity in their set, because they pretty much did 80s rock covers for the most part. You know, it was Bon Jovi and Poison and that kind of stuff, practically the entire set. But then they'd break out the Chuck Berry.
It was that good.
It was that good. They were way better than Chuck Berry. If you didn't see Vortex live, if you didn't see a group of 17-year-old white kids from Massachusetts performing Johnny B. Goode, you have not truly experienced what a powerful song that can be.
Well, and Alyssa is turning out to be largely musical for me, although I didn't intend for it to be that way. I get Johnny B. Goode in my number one spot, but I'm curious to hear what you have for number one.
Well, number one, I'm going back to goofy DC Comics characters.
Of course you are.
Even though we did a whole list of them, and I've already included Johnny Thunder, but number one, back to DC, because Cornflake, there is a character known as Johnny DC.
Johnny DC.
And it kills me that I forgot about Johnny DC when we were doing the goofy DC list. Because
is Johnny DC wacky?
Johnny DC, super goofy and stupid. And I sent you some images for Johnny DC. Check your email.
Okay, I see two.
There are two of them, yes.
There's a guy one and a female one.
Yeah, so the guy version came first, early 1960s. This is just in the advertising. Like, Johnny DC was never in any DC stories, but just in all the ads in the comic books, there'd be ads for all the other DC comics that are coming out. And they just invented Johnny DC as this little character to host their ads.
Yeah, he's like a walking logo with a face.
He'd be like, hey kids, I'm Johnny DC. Don't forget to read Batman next month. It'd just be an ad for whatever comics are coming out. Yeah, Johnny DC, it's the DC logo, just the big circle that says DC in the middle of it, with little arms and legs and a big goofy round head. That's Johnny DC.
Yeah, it kind of looks like the DC logo and Charlie Brown and a stick figure get mashed together.
It could not look more ridiculous. Suddenly,
Johnny DC.
Charlie the Tuna looks like a super slick, sophisticated, serious character by comparison. So this was the early 60s, and they used Johnny DC for just a few years, I guess. But I was looking at a lot of old DC advertising, and I hadn't realized before that they would tweak the Johnny DC cartoon in these ads sometimes. Like, there'd be a Christmas version where Johnny DC is wearing a little Santa hat, and there's a version of Johnny DC wearing, like, a space helmet for their science fiction, you know, Adam Strange comics or whatever they were promoting. So they'd actually customize these goofy Johnny DC characters. It just looked so goofy.
What more can you say?
And I can't imagine that anybody liked it.
Yeah, they don't stick out as strong characters.
DC always had a big problem getting in touch with the kids. Like, in the 60s, as we've spoken of, like, Stan Lee figured out how to talk to the kids.
Yeah, there was no such equivalent for DC.
Yeah, the editors over at DC, it just always sounded like you were getting a lecture from your grandfather. They were completely out of touch with the kids at DC, and they thought, you know what they'd love? Johnny DC. Here we go. Now, many years later, if you go to that other image that I sent you, in the 80s, mid-80s, same era as the Lady Johnny Thunder, there was also suddenly a lady version of Johnny DC.
Yeah, Lady Johnny DC is a little more fleshed out.
This just sounds insane, of course, but what happened is this was in a comic book called Ambush Bug. And Ambush Bug, we also should have talked more about in our goofy DC characters episode. Ambush Bug would just run around making fun of DC comics. And in one of the Ambush Bug stories, they introduced a new version of Johnny DC, which, of course, was one of the dumbest things in the history of DC. So Ambush Bug thought, let's bring back Johnny DC. And this was the lady versions. Now suddenly Johnny, and again, just like Johnny Thunder, now it's J-O-N-N-I, Johnny DC. But with the same stupid DC Comics logo for a body with little arms and legs and the stupid head, but now with a big mop of curly red hair.
Curly red hair and
like Frida, like, from the Peanuts comics.
Cool looking black lipstick.
You like the looks of Johnny DC?
I the modern Johnny.
Your new favorite character. Things got even crazier with this reboot of Johnny DC in the 80s. So I'm very happy that I could use this Johnny list to right the wrong from our DC list that we totally overlooked. Johnny DC, there you go. And Cornflake, I believe that brings us to the top of your Johnny list.
Ooh, the summit, the pinnacle, the peak of the Johnnies. I almost, Kevin, through this list had a common thread, other than the fact that everything on the list is a Johnny.
Yeah, there is that.
There is that. I was very close, though, to having a secret thread, but me having to have 10-finger Johnny on my list threw things off. Otherwise, if you look at every other entry, there's some connection to the 80s.
Yeah.
So that holds true for my number half choice, the best Johnny I think there is. And it's a Johnny we have discussed recently on the show, because I gotta go with Johnny Lawrence, played by William Zabka, who we first see in Karate Kid in 1984.
I thought Johnny Lawrence might make your list. I was hoping he would.
Well, not only do I have Johnny Lawrence on my list, I have Johnny Lawrence at the top of my list, and that's largely thanks to Cobra Kai.
Well, sure. Obviously, we've established on the show both huge fans of the sequel series to Karate Kid, Cobra Kai, featuring Johnny Lawrence, Billy Zabka.
And we like Billy Zabka a lot, too.
Oh, yeah. And just terrific on Cobra Kai. You know, as we've discussed, it's such a great vehicle for his acting ability, because we spent the 80s watching him be nothing but a goofy bully.
And now we're seeing the other side in some respects. And we're seeing him refer to hashtags as hash browns. And I love that.
Yes.
That alone would have put him at the top of my list, because that's just how my standards are, Kevin.
I think we should all switch to just calling them hash browns. I really like that better.
I love that so much.
Every time you're making an Instagram post, it should be like you're in the drive-thru lane at McDonald's.
I 100% agree.
Absolutely. Johnny Lawrence, Cobra Kai.
Yes.
Excellent pick for the top of your Johnny list. I like it. I'm going a little obscure for the top of my Johnny list, Cornflake.
Oh.
And strangely, this is probably the first Johnny that occurred to me. But I'm going to an SNL sketch. This is a late 80s episode of Saturday Night Live. The host was John Malkovich, and they did a sketch where Malkovich portrayed a character known as Johnny Canal.
Johnny Canal, you say?
It's so stupid, and they only did it once. This isn't like a classic recurring Saturday Night Live character. Everybody's forgotten all about Johnny Canal. The setting was the early 1800s, and Johnny Canal was this kind of frontiersman, like dressed in furs and the coonskin cap, Daniel Boone kind of a outfit, you know. And he's appearing before a government board, like the president of the United States and all these old-timey government dudes in a conference room. And Johnny Canal's there with a big map of the United States. And his plan that he's presenting to the government is he wants every city and town in America to be connected to every other city and town in America by a canal. And he meant an individual canal. For any two towns in America you could name, there would be a single dedicated canal. In fact, there'd be two, because there'd be one for each direction.
Right, one going into town and one going out of town.
And he was presenting this giant map that was just covered in a million lines going in every direction, crisscrossing everywhere. And he presented it very passionately. This is his dream. He's Johnny Canal. And the government guys, and it was like Kevin Nealon and Phil Hartman and like John Lovitz are sitting there.
Just absolutely ate him alive, I bet.
They're in the old-timey suits and powdered wigs and stuff, you know. And they were like, how would that possibly work? How could that construction work? How would it, the infrastructure? It makes no sense at all. And Johnny Canal would just pause and think for a second. And then he pulled out a knife and would just leap across the table and just try to attack them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that happened like two or three times. If anyone questioned his canal plan, he just freaks out and attacks with a
knife. He's going to knife them down.
Yeah. And I mean, it had a little theme song about Johnny Canal that they played at the beginning and end of it. It's just this weird little self-contained, bizarre, goofy sketch. I loved it. He was Johnny Canal. It is online. You can see the video, and you should. Johnny Canal, Cornflake. How's that for a stupid, ridiculous, top-of-the-list Johnny?
I am stunned. That is that is really weird, Kevin.
Had to be done. Johnny Canal.
Do you have any honorary Johnnies?
Yeah, you know, there's so many. You know, this is one of those topics where I had probably 50 Johnnies on my initial list to whittle down to 4.5. So, yeah, we have to really, you know, lightning round this, though. But yeah, toss out some honorable mentions.
Oh, no problem. Honorary mention goes to Can't Keep Johnny Down from the They Might Be Giants 2011 album Join Us.
I know that song. Good video, that song. The guy running backwards. Yeah.
Good video. Really fun, upbeat song about a guy who's just not having an easy time with life.
That's a good song.
It was a good time. And Johnny Vegas, British comedian and easily the funniest contestant on season 10 of Taskmaster.
Oh, here you go again with your Taskmaster.
Okay. Well, I'm keeping it to a minimum. I only need him an honorary mention. So those are my two honorary mentions. Hash Brown, fight me.
Let me see what I had left over on my list. I got a bunch. Oh, no. Johnny Dangerously, the movie, Michael Keaton comedy.
Mm-hmm.
With the Weird Al theme song, This Is the Life. Fun movie. Johnny Ramone.
Yeah.
Come on.
With the downstroke on the guitar.
Classic punk guitarist, the best, Johnny Ramone. Oh, Dr. Johnny Fever from WKRP.
I can't believe I forgot Johnny Fever.
Howard Hessman, you know. I got Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest's a good one.
Classic Hanna-Barbera action cartoon. Johnny Marks was the songwriter who wrote a million Christmas songs back in the day, including he wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all the songs for the original Rankin-Bass Rudolph cartoon.
I had no idea.
Johnny Whitaker was the little kid on Family Affair. And then, of course, from Sid and Marty Krofft, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. He's the kid hanging out with Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. And I'll give you one more. How about, speaking of goofy 80s pop music, Johnny Hates Jazz.
Oh, yeah. They Take These Broken Wings.
That was Mr. Mister.
Darn it. Johnny Hates Jazz is Shattered Dreams, yeah?
There you go, Shattered Dreams. Yeah, Shattered Dreams, and then
I get those two mixed up.
They had Shattered Dreams, and then there was a follow-up called I Don't Want to Be a Hero. Also good. I was not a big fan at the time, but then in retrospect, I just love them. They won me over eventually. Johnny Hates Jazz. All right, let's wrap it up there. I've got like 20 more Johnnies on this list, but you know.
Oh, no.
Who cares? Let's move on.
All right, we got to stick a lid on these Johnnies.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just wrap this Johnny show up. Get us out of here.
Well, here we go with our credits for our show. On the internet, find us at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast. At Flopcast on Twitter, that's our handle, and the _Flopcast on Instagram. And you can leave us a rating or a review or both on Apple Podcasts, wherever you download our show. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Oh, you know, Cornflake, original Sponge Awareness Foundation album back in 1991. There's a deep album track on that album called Johnny Censorship.
That's right.
Absolutely true. There's one final Johnny for you crazy kids. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for a yet another really stupid top 4.5 list. That's what the people enjoy, right?
I loved it. I don't know what the people think. I had fun. I love nothing more than a stupid Johnny list.
But what do all the people know? And thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us for some Flopcast silliness once again. Meanwhile, be safe. Be good, be kind. We are thinking of you. You know that. See you next week.
Peace and Johnny's.
My name is Mark McCrane. I'm the author of The Best Saturdays of Our Lives.
I'm Dan Klink, co-host of The Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast.
The Best Saturdays of Our Lives features programming trends from the 1966 television season all the way through the last hurrah of the early digital age of the 1990s.
On the show, if it's animated, we talk about it.
Order your signed copy today at tbsool.com.
And listen to the podcast at esonetwork.com and all podcast platforms.
Johnny, Johnny, yes, Papa, eating sugar, no, Papa, telling lies, no, Papa, show your tongue, ah, ah, ah.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the T Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.